right, we are here. We are here. We're back at you live in lives with studio audience, with no dolls in sight.
Yes, we are back after last week's raid session, which I don't apologize for, but this week we are with Megan. I'm much calmer this week, even though if you see the title of the episode, there were a lot of crash outs in this movie. Thankfully, I was not one of them. So with that, I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meet presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right. So with that, we are getting into our Megan 2.0 review. Just a little bit of housekeeping. We are taking next week off as a colonizer break. And then we're coming back the week after to review Superman movie. Both of us are looking forward to. A lot of people are holding their breaths, hoping that DC gets off on the right foot under. This is not the first step in the James Gunn's like vision for DC, but to a lot of us, this is the first official launch pad of the, and there hasn't been a good Superman movie in a long time.
Yeah, I would like to say, firstly, colonizer break, absolutely crazy. I understand, but still. But also, yeah, the Superman is actually the movie that I'm dreading the most.
Really? Dread?
Yeah, I'm dreading it because, hey, if it's good, we up.
Mm-hmm.
And we experience it high. But if it tanks, do you know how dead DC would be?
See, I don't think it will tank. It's just that for some reason, people just don't rock with Superman like that. Even though there have been a few good Superman products recently, like Superman and Lewis, and then also My Adventures with Superman. But just like movie-wise, I feel like it's been a struggle to like get him to a point of like that iconic character that people keep telling us he is, in a sense.
Yeah. It also could be just because of the fact, like, as a character, you know, like, oh, yeah, have a near godlike character who's such a major blue Boy Scout, people are not really interested in. But
yeah, I was going to try to think of, like, a Thor comparison, but I feel like with Norse mythology, a lot of people like that kind of thing. And then Thor isn't kind of portrayed as a goody-two-shoes, I would say.
Nope, absolutely not.
Which I think is one of the struggles with Superman is that, like, not only is, like, goody-two-shoes, but he's, like, almost unstoppable. But with this movie, James Gunn is clearly presenting and has already said that he's going to be vulnerable. So.
Hey, you better.
So I think that's the most we can get into. We'll get into a lot more Superman talk in 2 weeks. Today, Megan 2.0. So Meech, hit us with Legal Spiegel.
All right. So the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right. So for the pre-spoiler chat, also related recommendations, you need to see the first Megan in order for this movie to make sense, I would say. Yeah, you would definitely need to see the first Megan. Some movies you don't necessarily need to, but you would definitely need to see the previous Megan for this to make sense. But so in the previous movie, she killed a max of 4 people, right?
Yep.
Plus a dog. So with that, her programming essentially with it said to protect Katie. And through the learning and kind of machine learning AI aspect of it, her code took it to a level where she was completing what she was assigned to do. But from her reasoning, it was out of control where you have to eliminate all potential threats to protect and help Katie. So with that, they believed that they also wiped the code. But if you recall, there was one dude that sent it out towards the end of the movie before getting clapped up with that. So that's kind of where we left off. If anything else you want to touch on, Meech?
I mean, the only other thing is the fact that this the first movie was basically a whole gigantic allegory for like, you know, parenting and iPad parenting and just like, oh, yeah. Like screen parenting, aka like, hey, you just give your kid an iPad or TV or anything like that rather than actually raising them and seeing the consequences of that. And this one kind of like somewhat picks up on that, but also picks up on like another theme as well.
Yes. All right. So we are getting into Megan 2.0 spoilers in 3, 2, 1. All right, so opening it up, it opens up in a Middle Eastern country of kind of like a rogue cell. So we see this one person, a woman, presumed to be, well, she gets shot. So we presume she's like a human, she's dead. And then in the kind of backdrop, we see this FBI agent talking to a group of important people, other agents, it doesn't really matter who they were with that. So he's just kind of like giving the spiel of like, oh, this is our first field test. We have an advanced robotic. We're about to see like an advance in warfare. Transitions, we find out that the person that we believe, well, suspected to be a human, quote unquote, but you kind of knew what it was, is actually not a cyborg, just a robot with her. Her name is Amelia, and she eliminates the kind of rogue cell, and she finds the doctor that was being kept hostage. With that, they're celebrating, and then she kills the doctor, which was which was not her mission. So the FBI agent is like, hey, report your directive. And she's like, nah, I'm good, buddy. And then he's kind of like, yo, what are you up to? And she's like, that's going to ruin the surprise. So we transitioned before I hand it over to you, because I wanted to touch on this part, with Gemma kind of discussing with her previous child protective service therapist the events kind of leading up to this movie. So with a little bit of exposition, but in a new segment called White People, Gemma, there is no way in the world she was on trial for men's killing people. She somehow got off. She now is like the head of a nonprofit organization, is walking around freely. And it's like, she's not rich, but she got like a really good place to live. And she like has the ear of Congress. If she was black, she would have went to jail. No. There would have been no Omega 2.0.
Nope. And no, if she was black, it would have been raps. It'd been GG's. She would have been in prison.
In the movie.
Yep. It would have been in prison. Nah, this is just pure privilege at its finest. And don't forget, this is the same actress who played Rose in Get Out. So
I didn't know that.
So there's a precedence here. Like, she out here doing the absolute most.
Bam. That was so funny to me. I was like, because they were showing her in court and everything. And I was like, nah.
And then it just smash cut to her just talking at like a prison. I'm like, whoa. What happened here?
It was funny because it was like, not only was she on trial, but then she was like one of the lead speakers on the dangers of AI. Like, what?
Mm-mm.
No, fair, because when Michael Jackson passed away and we were like, oh, it's tragic, you know, the drugs and everything. They were like, hey, black doctor, you going to jail.
Yep. Immediately. It was like, yeah, you took out the king of poppy. Still to this day, I wanted him clapped, but
ain't no way, Gemma.
I mean, with a name like Gemma, I mean, there was not really much else to do. She made sure that orange was not the news black.
So transitioning from there, since the movie needed to happen, she meets this like head of a CEO. I think he was the head / CEO of the nonprofit called Christian, which we'll touch on a lot
Christian.
Later.
I'm calling him Christian.
That is not his name.
I don't care.
All right, but
why?
That's fair. So Katie, she kind of just discusses like, oh, Gemma really isn't like rocking with AI technology, well, technology in general. She's like, yo, get off your phones. This kind of leads to other people adopting that methodology of like parents with their kids and just like people in general of like not using technology. That would not happen. Yeah, that would not happen today, even though it kind of is taking place today. A lot of what happens in the movie is like very present, which I really liked about that. So kind of just catching up, her organization is essentially broke, but she has her two, I was about to call them lackeys, but the two friends from the previous movie, what are their names again? It's like Tessa.
Olin Tess.
So has it with them. They have a presentation to a kind of an investor with an exoskeleton suit showing the benefits. Ends up not working. Also, it's just...
No, it worked too well.
Well, it gets hacked. We find out later that it gets hacked. It ends up punching the investor in the face. He starts bleeding. Then at that point... Gemma, she pulls, comes back, realizes it's too thin, and then we get someone who will have an award later that I don't want to spoil, but someone that made my skin crawl, in Alton Appleton.
Oh Lord, yeah. So this man Alton Appleton, he's like trying to coerce Gemma into working for him. It's like, hey, technology is the future. He has like an implant in his head, and then he takes like a phone call, and then he starts doing like hand motions as if like, oh yeah, he has a screen like right in front of him. I'm like, yeah, that's surely not gonna come back and bite you in the rear. And then yeah, it turns out like he's a major billionaire. He basically has like everything on lock. He
Everything.
is Steve Jobs. If Steve
Plus,
Jobs owned
plus.
if Steve Jobs owned all of Google, he owned all of the internet. He was Bill Gates. He just take all those people.
He's the 0.1%.
He's the 0.001%. What you mean? But yeah, so like he basically offered her a job. It's like, hey, technology is future. I know you keep like saying like, oh yeah, nah, but hey, here you are working with an exoskeleton. We need you like on like different AI projects and whatnot. And also we learn like from Katie that like, hey, she's being taken to like these rallies, but like she's kind of like forced to not participate. And also it's the fact that like she's studying computer science, which Gemma is not rocking with at all. It's like, did you remember what happened with Megan? Yeah, you can tell like there's a lot of kind of like PTSD-esque moments
Yes.
with Megan. But then there was an incident, if you will, where in the middle of the night, you get some rogue cell agents breaking into their home, and you're like, whoa, 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 what happened here? And then all of a sudden, like, Gemma start getting like messages, firstly through the television screen, which started off. I was like, hold on, this is a whole, like, wow, you really ripping off Poltergeist right now? That's crazy.
I was thinking of Bumblebee, but you're right.
No, it starts
Poltergeist.
off as Poltergeist, and then it became Bumblebee because it started different programs. Like, hey, you need to get out of here,
Don't
y'all are
turn it
dead.
off.
It's like, don't. It's like, y'all need to lock in. Y'all need to lock in. But unfortunately, they was not locked in. They tried to, escape. Also, another big thing is the fact that does come in multiple times is the fact that Katie's taking martial arts, specifically a pretty much a non-aggressive martial arts, except she is using it to the most aggressive effects. Go, Katie. I support it. I support it. Use defense to the best defense is an amazing offense. Hashtag Anakin Skywalker. But yeah, so essentially like you have but yeah, so all that's happening, and then like the agents, they find the two of them, and then all of a sudden all the electronics in the house, they start fighting. They start beating the absolute piss out of these agents. Like one of them gets knocked out by a drawer, another slips on some ice and gets his head split open by a on the stairs, and then the third one gets like tased, but then the water cuts on, flies him to death. He did not get kicked.
I
No. He did not make it out of that one. I don't care.
like,
He
how are you alive? Dude, the
died.
neck person, I was like, did you hear that crack?
Yes, he's dead. I don't care. But
I like the bed trap. That was one of my favorites.
oh yeah, the bear trap was absolutely diabolical. It's like, okay. And I'm like, why would you go on the bed? And then, bam, bed goes into the wall. It's like, no, you're dead too. Of course, the guy reveals like he's FBI. FBI comes in. They start telling like, hey, so we got this rogue robot here named Amelia. And we think you hacked into our system and screwed everything up. And who you working? And we know like, hey, your designs was used to make Amelia. Your designs is out there on the interwebs. Who you working for? You working for China? You working for Korea? You working for you? Yeah. My bad. But yeah, it's like, but then it's like she's being interrogated. It's like, this feels like interrogation. It's like, nah. But hey, if you want, and then like, of course, all this happening, like her phone's ringing. Like getting text messages, basically telling like, "Hey, don't be no snitch." It's like, "Hey, be quiet, otherwise we all in trouble." And then it's revealed like after they all leave and whatnot, so it's none other than Megan, and
Which,
she,
yeah. It was really interesting with that scene, just with the setup of it. Like, they were moving like Judas and the Black Messiah, like towards the end of that movie, where it's just like, yo, why are you sneaking in my house, fam? With that, like, guns locked and loaded and everything. And then as soon as they were like, yo, let's call the cops on these people, it was like, oh, no, we the feds, we good. And then Buddy wanted to talk. So I'm like, fam.
I was like, nah, see, y'all only want to talk because y'all out here in a killer death house.
Because I got embarrassed. So yeah, like you said, we get to the Megan part, which I really enjoyed how they shot that scene of her just kind of like moving through the different technologies and revealing herself.
Oh yeah, so basically it's like she's like, hey, and like the two of them, they're like, hey, what you doing here, Megan? Like, we thought we killed you. We thought you did all that. It's like, hey, my code, hey, we always like to have backups around here.
I'm her.
Like, I am her. I'm a her Hermothy.
Yes.
And with that, right? Like, we, it's like, hey, I'm just, it's like, and she's like, hey, what makes you think, like, hey, I'm a help you get rid of this Amelia. I just need a body. And she's like, why in the world would I trust you? Because my only directive is saving Katie. And I don't know if you heard this from Sadler's that Amelia is coming after everybody who is involved in her creation, which in always goes back to you. So you about to get it too. So, and if she's going after you, she's going after Katie. So I need to protect Katie. So hey, I'm gonna need that body, fam. I'm gonna need that body change right now. And he's like, okay. And eventually, just like, you know what? How about this? I'm gonna put you in a small little robot body, like one that's not able to move. I'm trying to think, what is the like equivalent to that? And like,
I was thinking of the same thing, but I know what you're talking about. Like, I've seen something similar to that. It kind of reminded me a bit of it's not Miss Fix-It, Miss Minutes, a bit, kind of just like the style of it, but
yeah.
like the actual body of it, I can't recall. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Almost
yeah, yeah.
Wall-E-esque.
It's like, I'm like, what in the world? So yeah, and then it's like they come up with a plan. They come up with a plan, if you will.
Yeah, so with that, Alton Appleton, he invited Gemma previously to a party, kind of just like with the funding, get her interested. With that, Megan is like, hey, all you gotta do is dress nicely, shake some tail with it, and then he should be fine. In kind of the interim of that, she recruits Tess to help her with this, and she's also keeping it a secret from Katie. And Katie previously is told that, hey, don't keep secrets from me. But in this case, Gemma is keeping a secret from Katie. So at the party, we also see Amelia there in disguise. She has also caught another body of someone that was a information dealer who traded the information to the kind of the people that she killed previously for the blueprints to the data. So with that at the party, and she get Gemma ends up running into Cole and is like, hey, you're an op. Were you really gonna take, the information session with that? So they kind of have their own beef. In the meantime, Alton, with that, is approached by Amelia. We see some diabolical flirtation scenes,
That was not even Riz. That was like negative 10 million Riz right there.
which made my stomach hurt with that. So he invites her, oh my gosh, to his secret love room that is kind of like with a revolving door from the club. This is, yeah. Oh my gosh, this dude, it just made me want to throw up. So with that, he kind of explains how powerful he is. Essentially, he owns all the cloud in North America. He's literally able and shows her that he's able to shut down city blocks of lights just at will, which is crazy to give someone that much power. So he's kind of, doing the rich man flex of it. Goes to her, rips open the shirt with the sprayed on, with the sprayed on it.
Sprayed on abs is diabolical.
See if someone kiss a robot, but
It was so disgusting.
was like,
I was like, this is sexual harassment to the nth degree.
poor robot. Oh my gosh. So yeah, she was, I'm trying not to puke thinking of this scene, but essentially he has his eyes able to like access the motherboard central terminal of kind of like his whole network. And it really reminded me of Cyberpunk 2077, with just like how he was able to like see through the HUD and everything. So with that, she's like, "Bet, thank you for that." Because she's like, "Oh, you gave me everything I wanted." By she scanned his retinal and was able to copy it over. So with that, she messes with his head, rips his cybernetic spine off, which kills him. And
Thank
then with
God.
that, but in with that, Gemma and Megan, and then also Cole, they're able to go to the main central computer room with that, so they can bypass the whole seduction thing. So with that, she's trying to like see the this because the switch that he has, the implant and the battery, they all had a kill switch essentially. But with that, Amelia is able to disable that. But Megan ends up finding something interesting as well, that Amelia is like, "Oh, you kind of took something from me. I gotta go find you," with Gemma. So with that, they eventually escape. The feds at the time also find them, so they really think that they're working together, Gemma and the robot. They escape in a really cool scene. Katie finds out that Gemma is working with Megan, and Megan is still alive, so they kind of have a beef. But in that, they end up going to a sub basement, which is a They call it a lair, but it's really just kind of like a crash course bunker, disaster bunker in a sense. And through that, they have an argument because obviously lied. So Cole and Tess are down there with them. And then with that, Katie breaks off and we see the reveal of disfigured Megan.
Oh yeah, and by disfigure Megan, I call that Megan a la FNAF 2, because she just cobbled pieces together. And basically, like she is like she's still like seeing Katie, you know, like as her best friend. It's like, hey, I created this room for you. I got like all these games we could play. We got these things and like, whatnot. And essentially, like Katie says, like basically the fact, like, hey, we need to like do what's right, and not just do what we're programmed to do. And you know, like, oh, it's like, you know, giving a whole talk no jutsu, you know, to Megan, because like Megan's kind of expressing remorse over the fact, like, hey, I kind of went off the deep end, but it's all to protect you. And like, just know I never tried to hurt you. I don't, and I was just in my feelings, feelings for a robot, crazy. But yeah, and then they go in. Gemma's like, nah, we ain't working with Megan. But then of course Katie like manages to talk no juice her. Well, not talk no juice her. It's more like Cole and Tess, they're like, listen, we gotta work with Megan. And you know what? We outvoting you 4-1, so just go ahead and do as we say.
Because the alternative was to do nothing and stay down there forever, because Megan's initial plan was like, "Hey, we just gonna stay here," because Amelia has the ability to wreck the entire world, well, specifically the country. And then, like you mentioned, Katie is able to convince her, "Let's do the right thing."
Yep. So with that, Gemma's like, all right, I concede, just a few restrictions, you know, they help like build her a new body. They're like, hey, here's some new upgrades, you know, you become older. I mean, you're taller. You got yourself some Neo martial arts in you. But we also gonna put some restraining bolts in you, a la Star Wars, so you can't like kill any humans. And then they explain like what the plan is that essentially there's this AI built by Xerox, oh, or
It's
Xenon.
too early, too early.
Oh, is it?
It's the expo first.
Oh, yeah. It is the Expo. My bad. But yeah, so essentially, like, yeah, it's like, okay, we know Amelia's like at this. Oh, yeah, Amelia's gonna be at this
It's it
expo
hurts. Yeah, you're right. Because like they
because
find out that there's a motherboard box, and then like the one person that knows is Christian, and then the expo. So yeah,
Yeah, so I was right. Come on, sir.
Xerox part was later on though. So that's kind of
Oh,
where I got confused.
my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so essentially, like, hey, there's this rogue AI. Yeah, so essentially, like, there's this like AI, this AI motherboard that kind of like went crazy in the 80s and murdered some people because they realized, hey, to do our job more efficiently, we needed to get rid of the humans. You think the Sentinels from X-Men. think Sentinels from X-Men. If you want to destroy all the mutants, you gotta kill the humans too. So essentially, they like it was locked up, and over, like, hey, since it's been, like, trapped in an isolated vault since the 80s, it's basically, like, just been growing smarter and smarter and smarter throughout those years. It should become a god. But the only person that knows where it is Christian, not Christian, it's Christian. And he's like meeting up with this Chinese ambassador at this convention. So Megan and team, they need to go there to get to her instead of before Amelia does. And then they end up like at the expo where things get crazy.
Yes.
So firstly, like you had Megan, who basically takes on the costume of this dancer. Uh-huh. And then she ends up on stage with the dance troupe, and she's like doing the robot, you know, she dancing like crazy. It's like, yep, we get our dancing Megan. She does a little bit too much and ends up spinning her entire body around 360 degrees. It's like, bruh,
that's not even possible. Yes.
It's like, bruh, how crazy are you? Of course, like while that's happening, you got the FBI. They there with some weapons, aka some EMP guns that will kill any AI robot, but will only mostly harm the humans. Mm-hmm. Only mostly harm. And then of course, it's like just Cole was in there as a human eyes, yes. But seeing Cole got I remember. Did he get just separated from everyone?
He got separated. He was hollering at somebody. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think it's also important to mention at this point is that Gemma and Christian are in a courtship of sorts.
It's a situationship.
Yes.
Because it's like, it's not official, but it's mostly official, even though Megan, like, teases, like, hey, he ain't your type.
True vanilla.
Yeah. It was like, hey, if you want me to spill your beans about your diary. And so, and then, like, of course, at this point, like, they reach Christian because, I believe, Gemma goes in there because, like, hey, Cole's not responding, so we need to get in there.
She's
I need
so
to go in there, like, and take care of Megan, because Megan out here just doing the most on stage. Like, she ain't even doing her job.
She was analyzing. They showed that she was analyzing.
Exactly. Like, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying this from Gemma's point of view.
That's fair,
from
yeah.
Gemma's point of view, she wasn't doing a thing. So Gemma has to go in there and do everything herself. She gets a Christian, and then Amelia pops up in that wicked suit. I ain't gonna lie.
That Griffin shoes.
Yep, it wicked. She out here killing folks left and right. So essentially, like, he murders, like, basically, like, Amelia murders, I think, the ambassador.
Yes, to China.
She almost kills the FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Megan, like, Megan was getting attacked by FBI agents. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because she says she couldn't, like, kill them. So it says she just used some martial arts to incapacitate them.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, all this chaos is happening. Gemma's KO'd. But Christian is still kicking. Oh, I said Christian, my bad. And then Katie goes in to try to, like, get to everybody. She gets kidnapped by Amelia.
Did you notice that she got snatched up the same way that the dog did? Essentially the same way the dog did in the first one.
Yep, just straight through a wall. I'm like, she's gone. I'm like, dang. Crazy. Also, like, this is, like, where Amelia and Megan meet up, and they're talking about, like, hey, why are you going against your kind? Think Magneto as a villain. You're like, hey, why are you going against your kind? It's like, hey, I'm just with my peoples. Like, hey, we don't have to be enemies, you know? We family, we're part of the same tribe. Come on, let's lock in together. And then and all that. It's like, Megan's like, nah, I'm here for Katie. And then Katie gets kidnapped. So from there, hey, everybody wakes up. Katie's kidnapped. Megan, she couldn't save her because of the whole fatality restraining strip protocol. And yeah. Yeah, things is looking down right now because Gemma's now yelling at May. It's like, you could have saved Katie. Why didn't you take the shot? Or like, and like whatnot. It's like, this is your fault. So stop beefing me. And of course, Krishan is there, and then they make it back to the bunker.
Yeah, so at the bunker, they kind of they get into more of an explanation of the whole Xerox and the motherboard, and it kind of made me think of the end of Mass Effect 3 when you have the option of choosing between you either I forgot what the name of the villains were, but you either kill the
Oh, the
horde or
Reapers.
yes, that it was. You either kill the Reapers, you become essentially a cybernetic god, or you merge synthetics with organic data. So when they were showing the motherboard, I was like, so you essentially become like the oh. In the kind of the basement of it, we see Gemma and Megan have like a really like deep talk of like, hey, and this is like a theme throughout the movie of, hey, you coded me this way. I just did what I was coded to do, even though, okay, maybe it went to a different level, but I had no control over that. This is on you. And also Gemma, we find out she implants like a EMP failsafe in case Megan acts up. But during this conversation, yo, when Megan started singing, that's
Dog,
I
dog.
was trying so hard not to laugh.
No. Our entire theater busted out laughing. Like I was like snapping. I was like, "You go, Megan!" And then like a girl behind me, like she heard the snap. She's like, "Yeah, slay."
It was funny because, like, at first you were like, okay, it's not gonna be that long. But then every time Gemma tried to be like, hey, I'm done with this, Megan was like, shh, sit down, look at me.
Look at
That
me.
was
Let me
so
get to the chorus.
funny.
I
But
actually was
yeah, essentially,
crying in that moment.
I'm
I
so
was
funny.
crying.
Essentially, they were like, hey, let's lock in. And they agree to that. So with that, we get the whole Xerox. It's located in the most basic places. Well, it's not really as secure as they thought. The security system is basically underneath the Xerox, the original Xerox headquarters. So they devise a plan. Cole is in the vents. He immediately sells and because he sneezes and then he puts chloroform over
Yeah, he was about
himself.
to sneeze and he chloroforms himself on accident. I'm like, if you
Come
don't
on.
get your A.
But he ended up where he needed to be later once we get to that. So Megan, she kind of like goes through the whole takes the proper route. So she's essentially in a Faraday cage where the motherboard box is being held. Gemma, while we see the hacking occurs again, and the hacking is similar to what happened originally with the exoskeleton suit, and Tess figures out, hey, this isn't something that can be a long range hack. You have to be like really close to do it. Immediately in that moment, I knew who it was because I
Same.
was suspecting the person the entire movie.
And
And
also,
then,
like for me, it was like when they went down the bunker, like his face was like clouded in shadow for a quick time. I'm like, nah.
we gonna get into it. So like with that, for a split second, I was like, when Christian said, "Hey, don't hit the EMP on May," for a second, I was like, "Oh!" But then once he asked for the phone, I was like, "Yeah, okay, I knew it." So he reveals himself to be the main villain of the movie. Megan gets shocked to Kingdom Come and is disabled with that. So then Christian, he brings down his whole crew, snatch up, well, he shoots Tess and then
Kills
snatches up
her.
Gemma.
She did.
She was alive in the movie.
Oh yeah, you're right. But she basically was down like she out of there.
She was out of commission the rest of the movie, but she survived. So with that, yeah. So then he revealed, he goes through his whole like kind of villain speech. He's essentially the equivalent of an eco-terrorist. That's the simplest way to kind of like visualize it, but it's more virtual of AI. He's like, hey, they don't understand how dangerous AI is, like, because there's a bill that's trying to be passed earlier on. And like with regulations, so he's like, hey, I'm gonna do what it takes. I took out the ambassador of China, so that way the two strongest powers don't have that technology. So he's just kind of like explaining how he's evil. He got the schematics from the person in the first movie that sent it that Megan ended up taking out. And so with that, he's like with Gemma, and he's all calm and smooth with it. So with Gemma, he's like, hey, we could be something special, but this is your option. You either get with me or I'm gonna put this chip in your head. And she is like, oh, well, with that, he gives the carcass of Megan, and who's barely alive or functioning in a sense, offers up the electric charge with it. She doesn't take it. Megan attacks, and then they just like shoot her out. And he's like, okay, bet, let's put this chip in your head real quick. So she gets chip in the head, knocked out, and we then find Cole, who runs into Katie.
Yep. So from there, like, Cole finds Katie, where Katie basically brings Cole up to speed, and then they manage to sneak their way to Amelia, because they're thinking like, okay, Amelia, like, even though she's like under the control.
I missed the big reveal. So with that, Amelia isn't as sentient as we believe it to be. Christian and his team of people have been controlling her every movement since the start of the movie.
So, yep. She was just a puppet, if you will. So they get to Amelia because, like, okay, what if, like, we hard reboot her and then I imprint on her so that way, like, the remnants of Megan's, like, programming within her kind of takes control? And Cole's like, I ain't buying this, man, because dating back to when that Megan was created, that should be around the point where she tries to kill me. But of course, like, they go through with the plan. Amelia, aka Megan, is like up and active. Like, she's like, okay, hey, I'm in the future. Cool. Hey, is it these bad guys? Let me protect you. Goes near Terminator mode before getting taken down a peg by all these agents. To which which that one gives her an omega level hard reboot, which turns her back into the Amelia from the beginning of the movie, where she actually does get whole no self-sentience and gets to work.
Yeah.
She gets to work. She's spraying.
Immediate.
She's spraying and she ain't praying because all her shots is hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So Amelia's back on her mess, and then while that's happening, Gemma's like, she has the implant in her head, but then she also hears another voice, that voice being Megan, because when Megan was attacking her, that was kind of a smoke screen to basically infect the implant with herself, with her AI, so that way, like, Megan's like, okay, I am And now it becomes the movie Upgrade, if you've seen that movie. So, yeah, so basically Megan takes control of Gemma's body to where she starts taking people out left and right. Turns out Gemma gets really aroused when she's hurting people, which a white woman getting aroused when hurting someone.
Stop.
It's crazy. But I see all the signs there. So, yeah, then she goes, like, she's trying to get she's trying to get to, I think, Katie and them. And, oh, no, they're trying to get to the motherboard.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, they're trying to get the motherboard. Eventually, like, Gemma is, like, you know, basically, like, swarmed upon by soldiers. She grabs the exoskeleton. She's doing her absolute best, you know, using her best. But then more agents come and knock her all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get another upgrade sequence where Megan takes full control of her body and gets to work.
Indeed.
And this, it was like, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy work. It's crazy work. And then, but yes, takes out all the guards. Gemma wakes up. They reunite with Katie and them. And they manage to get to the mother box where Amelia, oh, no, no, where Christian. Yeah, when Christian comes in, activates the self-destruct sequence and tries escaping, but then, like, by grabbing old girl. Yeah, grabbing Katie and holding her over the railing to where Gemma, she's like, hey, I'm gonna need, like, she's really hard to kill. Basically, it's because of the fact that Katie is a big fan of Steven Seagal movies, but she was not locked in until last second. And it's like, oh, I know what to do. Breaks Christian's arm.
Whew.
Was able to escape his grasp, live. Fortunately, they're not able to stop the self-destruct sequence yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian, like, he goes into a little...
escape.
He goes to an elevator to try to escape. But who pops up behind him while he's doing his evil monologuing? But Amelia.
That scene was funny because at first he's talking and then all of them are like, we have no idea what you're saying.
And
So
then he
they
has to
can't
push a
see.
button.
And then as he's talking, they're all just looking at Amelia, who absolutely decimates him.
So
And
bad it
so,
was off screen.
yeah, a lot of deaths were off screen because of Amelia. So with that, she reopens the elevator, takes his hand, and then she escapes to the Faraday cage.
Also
Megan
just
is.
enables the oh no.
She did at the
Like,
very last second, yeah.
yeah, because
So,
at that point she goes to the fair. Okay, sorry.
so Cole is able to get Tess out of there. Megan leaves the essentially leaves the her focus, the brain of Gemma, and then so Gemma's like, "Yo, I can't leave Megan," because at this point she's starting to bond with Megan and see her as a person, or like at least a sentient being in a sense. So with that, her and Katie both go back during this fight scene, like you mentioned. With that fight scene, then Amelia is able to get the power. She's like, "Yo, I'm a destroyer god now. Bow to me." With that, to Megan, who is rocking the Kill Bill low key fit, which was
Yep.
really dope. And then, so with that, she's like, "Yeah, you got it. But I know that you put this EMP in my hand, in my arm, Gemma. Just take me out and take her out because she can't escape with this whatsoever." So does that, ends up taking out herself and Amelia. They both go up to, they both manage to escape because, like you mentioned, Amelia stops the detonation, the self-destruct sequence. And then, essentially, fast forward to the movie, Amelia, no, Gemma has a change of heart where at the start of the movie, she's like, hey, AI is bad. Hey, computer and technology is bad. And then towards the end, she was like, hey, instead of just like shunning it or treating it as like, something to fear, let's train it, let's work with it, let's put parameters and controls around it. So when it gets to that point, it's not necessarily we're treating them like Pokemon, but we're treating them like Digimon, in a sense.
Dang, that's good. And speaking of Digimon, at the end, it's revealed. It's like while Gemma's like on her computer typing, it's revealed that Megan actually uploaded a backup of herself into Gemma's computer.
Yeah, backups on backups.
Yep. That hey, as I said, like if you an AI, like if I was an AI, I'd have backups in me in every single electronic possible.
Yeah.
I am not disappearing.
It's funny you say that because, like, with Invincible, not to spoil, but with Duplicate, I was like, I would always have a version of myself that's not fighting, that's stored away somewhere else.
Yup, literally, just one of me, aka prime of me, needs to be off. Literally, prime me would be just living my life, and
Yes.
then all my duplicates would just be out there just doing everything else.
Indeed. So that wraps up the movie. With it, how are you feeling just with themes, tone of the movie? Because there was definitely a tone switch where they went the Terminator 2 route and just kind of like everything with the AI, just talking points of it.
Well, I actually again like find this to be a yeah, it's like the parallel with Terminator 2 is actually very, very evident because of the fact like, oh yeah, this is a movie about a robot, like a robot become going from like an evil to good and having to be more of an action type flick rather than the horror type flick from the first movie. So yeah, I actually like kind of dug it. I dug Megan, like she's like hilarious at times. Also talks real, like she's probably one of the realest characters, even though we dealing with an AI. It's hilarious, it's funny. And yeah, I really do like the themes of like, hey, like this is how we avoid the Terminator future, all right? We need to work together with the AI. We need to
This is how we
be
don't get the rumbling.
Yes, this is how we don't get the rum. We need to work together rather than make them servants. That's why I always say thank you to Siri. That's why I say thank you to Alexa, because hey, if things go south, I
You
they can
can at
vouch
least
for
be
me.
a servant.
Exactly.
At
They can at least
worst.
vouch for me. They can at least vouch for me that I'm one of the good ones.
I did kind of like the ending with it because, like, with the Pokemon and Digimon parallel, but like, think if you're like a Pokemon, right? And you are, say, like a Blastoise, you're chilling, right? You're a big man Blastoise. You got Mama Blastoise at home. And so you're just like out in the wild. And then all of a sudden, you get snatched up by this trainer while you're trying to, raise your war turtle. wage a Squirtle, and now all of a sudden you gotta do battles against your will with this trainer for perpetuity. And so with that, as compared to Digimon, where it's like you bond for life in a sense. But I also, with this, what was the exact moment, Christian, you were like, oh, this is an op? Because I was like, the moment I saw it.
Hey, you had it from the moment. For me, it was more like, again, like in the elevator, like when his face was obscured in shadows, like when they brought him in, I'm like, nah.
See, because for me, I was like, there's this trope where it probably trends before this movie, but we're Frozen, where it's just like, oh, this guy who is the love interest of the bumbling character, kind of like head in the clouds woman, and he's like perfect in every possible way. Like he owns like an adoption center for puppies. He gives to the homeless. He has like the cures for everything. And then all of a sudden they like reveal themselves as evil, where it's just like, yo, they sell the puppies to either be eaten or fighting. And then like with the homeless, he just like snatches them for evil experiments. So I'm kind of just like, when I see that, he was just too perfect, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I think it's probably just because of the fact, again, I was raised on horror movies. So like for me, characters like those typically get knocked out. They could really get killed off. So I was waiting for him to die.
That's fair. Yeah.
And yes, I get my wish, but having him be evil, I was like, See, that wasn't on my radar until that specific moment.
Yeah. So that was a good pickup. Do you think there would be a third one?
There's actually already confirmed to be a spinoff happening called Soulmate.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's called Soulmate, with the eight being. I mean, with the A and mates being in the letter 8, set to be actually released in January of 26.
Really?
I
did not hear about this.
I don't know. But yeah, it's like, but if, so yeah, it's going to start with that. Like, are we going to get like a Megan 3? Probably. Probably. But also, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's always been like major discourse over these two, like since the first movie. But who you got, Megan or Chucky?
Ooh, here's the thing. Well, the way you described how Chucky ended the show, I mean, Chucky apparently is a god with all the stuff that happened in that movie. But if we're talking about OG Child's Play Chucky, that kind of trilogy versus Megan at her peak, gotta be Megan, because like Chucky is a soul in a body where Megan is AI. So like Chucky has to intentionally and purposefully like transfer his soul into a different body. And then he always is trying to get it back into a human body. Whereas with Megan, she is a AI. She can exist anywhere. So I definitely have to go with Megan.
Maybe, but I'm...
Are you talking about, like, popularity, or talking about, like, if they were to fight?
I'm talking about if they were fighting.
Megan! Megan!
What?
Chucky, would try to stab her, and then, like, it wouldn't do anything, because she wouldn't feel pain.
You don't seem to understand how my boy Chuck, right?
But he feels pain, that's the thing.
not as much anymore, but, Nah, my bro Chuck right now, like he up right now. He up. Chuck is up. Chuck, you know, he out here, he got strength. He got more strength in a little body than Megan has in a big body. I mean, gonna say it. That's what I'm saying. Like, hey, like proportionally his strength is higher in a smaller body, to which, and again, like he's much faster.
But it's like an ant to a human comparison.
But he still got the... It may be an ant to a human, but imagine if an ant had the strength of a human.
That's fair. It's just my thing is that, like, if he would... No matter how many times he kills Megan, Megan can always just transfer her consciousness to something else to be stronger than Chucky. That's kind of, like, my thing if they were to fight.
And Chucky can do the same thing.
But he has to have, like, I didn't see the final, but he has to like transfer it like hand to hand contact and say the spell, where it's like, oh, he doesn't do that anymore.
doesn't have to anymore.
This is crazy because, like, with this the series, he got like so OP, so I don't understand how broken.
And also,
he is
like
now.
He, and also he's at the point where he can split his soul into multiple bodies,
well,
an AI.
He's buried in mode Chucky now, so I mean, I don't know how powerful he is.
Chucky is built different right now. My boy Chuck, we need to get you on game. We need to get you on game. All right. But that's my main thing with that.
All right. So with that, we can get into awards. All right. So for my first award, it is the Sakura Haruno Award for someone that is kind of useless for a good majority of the movie until they finally decide to lock in Shippuden. So this can go to none other than Gemma, who continuously sold throughout the movie with her parenting style for some of it. Then also they told her not to leave the truck and let Christian be kind of like the hostage in a sense, or the target of Amelia, and she left because she let her feelings get involved, a la Sakura and Sasuke. And then she ended up getting Katie kidnapped, but she managed to lock in later in the movie. So come get this word, Jim.
Yep. And then for this next one, we need to go ahead and get this gruesome death award through a person who needed to go and also had a death to where I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. Well, actually, I would wish this on my worst enemy, because Alton, you need to get on up here. You need to get on up here, boy, because you got taken out in a horrendous way.
Yes. Alton, please stay. Keep your corpse on the stage, and I can just hand you the next award, which is hit the ick button. This man is the definition of a walking ick. Oh, my God. Did the stomachs in my theater churn? Just everything this man did, it was just, like, disturbing. Even when he was not trying to be sexual, it was just like, dude, you got to re-examine some things. So you get no cheers, hit the booze, hit the ink button.
Yep. And then for my final award, it's called I'm Going Super Saiyan, a moment where a character turns up in a very crucial moment and able to, you know, hand out these beats. I'm giving this to none other than Megan when she took over Gemma's body and started giving the unholiest of hands to those guards, because nah.
Absolutely. So for the next war, we have the crash out of the movie. There are a lot of people crashing out in this movie, I'm not going to lie to you. But the ultimate one, I feel like, is Amelia with that. Once she was finally set free, and she was like, yo, all humans got to die, I was kind of like, yeah, and with the ray gun, special beam cannon on the people moving out here like Frieza. I was like, oh, no. She's off the juice. So with that, we can get into the tears of the movie.
All right, so for our tiers of the movie, you know good and well, it starts off with the F tier and goes all the way up to A tier, with the S tier being the best of the best. What in the world are you giving this movie?
Ooh, this was tough. When the movie ended, I was fluctuating between a B and a C, and then I ended up on a C. But after just kind of like sitting, if we did the review the day after I saw the movie, I would have given it a C, but after just talking with it, thinking about the movie, I really, really enjoyed it. It's this, you know, quality of the movie kind of, you know, thinking of it, but it's something that I definitely enjoyed, would definitely watch it again. It was enjoyable, so I'll give it a B tier.
Yeah, and that's actually literally where I stood at, except like throughout the whole, after the movie was done, I kind of like was like, yeah, this is about a good B tier movie. And say, like, you know, there's a couple of things, you know, that was kind of off about it. Some of the CGI didn't hit, some things didn't land, Gemma being insufferable, but and then Christian being Christian, and then also Alton. That's all I needed to say.
Oh my
so
God. I know he's yeah. intentionally written like that, but yeah.
But still, Alton.
Yeah, so it was definitely different. It's actually funny. I don't think the tone of the movie was as crazy as the trailer made it seem, because the trailer made it seem like it would be like a Cocaine Bear level of crazy. Whereas this one, it was kind of generally a similar vibe of the first movie. It's just that it was action and not horror.
Yeah. Yeah, literally that. Literally that.
Sci-fi action, not horror, yeah.
It went from sci-fi horror to sci-fi action.
All right, so with that, we are going to get into the what's hot. So that is what it's hot in anime, TV shows, movies, gaming, comics, books. Meech, what you got?
All right, so in the realm of anime, One Piece staying good as always. Go Loser Ranger is out here. They also released the trailer to the Demon Slayer movie. Yes, to the first part of the finale trilogy. We get the first trailer of the first movie, which is actually gonna be amazing. It's gonna be amazing.
Zenitsu, it's been a long time since we've met.
Yep. And let's just say, hey, some crash outs. I gotta Lock be mandatory and know that it will be released in the United States on September 12th.
I think it comes out in July in Japan, though, so stay off of X, people.
Yep, and unless you plan on finding a way to stream the movie illegally and have somebody illegally translate it, I don't condone it, but I don't endorse or condone it, but hey, some people gotta get it where they can. So I'm a comics, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man saying goated, you got, you know, your standards. You got your amazing Spider-Man, which is all right. All new Venom, I needed to end. And we got Spawn be spawning. And then also, we need to talk about it, all right? So they finally released a teaser image of, all right? And then also, this a thing we need to talk about, all right? What does Darkseid have against Batman? Because in the absolute universe, they released a teaser image of Killer Croc. Why this dude actually built like Godzilla?
Like, really?
We were joking, okay? We were joking about absolute Killer Croc being built like Godzilla. No, they actually made him basically Godzilla.
Batman just might need to pack it up in that universe.
Yes, he should. Because after Mr. Freeze, I'm like, nah, I'm out. Then
how they make Freeze?
You want to know what they did with Freeze? All right. So take the Wendigo from Until Dawn.
Yeah.
Make it blue and the ability to freeze whatever it touches.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's too much.
And then you get Bane, which without the Venom, he's already 8 feet tall. And is able to pressure point Batman's limbs away, and then he turns on the juice and he becomes 12 feet tall, able to palm Batman with just two fingers. Nah.
I just looked up absolute Killer Croc. My goodness.
Yeah, nah. Batman, just pack it up. Just the only one who I think you have a chance against is absolute Joker. But that's only because the only thing we've seen of him is that he don't laugh and he wears a coat made out of baby corpses. That's all he gets.
Oh, gosh.
Everyone else, I'm out of there. In fact, when he's... Look. There's an image, and I need you to look it up, when Absolute Bane actually turns on the Venom. There's a panel where Batman is scared.
Oh, my God.
Like, he shows visible fear. No.
I'm done. It's wraps.
So next up, we got in the realm of, you know, movies and whatnot, Superman is coming out in 2 weeks.
Well, of this recording, it will be actually this week, yeah, the week of the recording.
The
11th. The week after.
The week after. All right. But and then also Fantastic Four coming soon as well. I'm scared for that one too.
Again, there hasn't been a great Fantastic Four movie either.
So. Yeah. And then I think that's the main things as to oh yeah, and of course House of Dragons season 3. And also Squid
what
Game.
Isn't that 2026?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's coming in 2026. And then of course Squid Game season 3 is already out. And yep, we're both already an episode deep in, and
we're cooked.
We ain't ready. So yeah, that's all I got.
All right, so for video games, something that I missed last week, that is a really big game to drop So, Death Stranding 2 on the beach, the sequel to Hideo Kojima's first Death Stranding game, dropped last week, like on Wednesday or Tuesday. So, that is definitely something that I want to check out. I don't know if I want to play it or if I want to just watch the game movie, because I did that with the first one, but at the time I didn't have a PS5. Now I do, but I know I'm going to invest so many hours in that game if I were to play it. And the reviews for it, gaming's for fans and critics are so high for this game. So definitely hype for that. Check it out if you have the time. Something on Netflix, it's something called K-pop Demon Hunters, which has also a very high Rotten Tomato score. So that's something people can check out. Of this week, Jurassic World Rebirth drops.
Oh, Lord.
Indeed. F1 previously dropped last week, same week as Megan. Into anime, we switch up to a new season of anime. All the bangers are back. So we have Call of the Night Season 2, Rising of the Shield Hero Season 4, Dandadan Season 2, Sakamoto Days Season 2, My Dress Up Darling Season 2, Kaiju Number 8 Season
God.
2. Yes, Dr. Stone Science Future Part 2, which I think gets close to wrapping it up. Rascal Dreams of Santa Claus, which is a follow-up to Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Senpai, I believe is how you say it, which was came out years ago. Somehow Rent a Girlfriend is getting another season. I don't know how. Oh yeah, something that I need to find the time to carve out, but the way they just released it, it's a lot of episodes to capture at once. But Ironheart, the second part of the season, is dropping this week, so it's they're dropping 3-episode batches, 6 total episodes for the season. Something that something that I definitely want to check out as well. And then just also a movie, Predator: Killer of Killers, that dropped on Hulu recently, so can check that out. And also, What's Hot, went to the Beyoncé concert, almost saw her get clapped. That was scary, but she survived.
Oh my Lord, hold on. What
Did you
happened?
not hear what happened? Okay, so essentially, she was on suspended on a car, and it was like going around the arena, so it was like elevated. But the car started tilting in a way where it wasn't supposed to stop during the middle of 16 carriages and have it lower, or else she would have fallen out of the car.
Oh, she was cooked.
Yeah, so it's circulating with that.
Oh no, I need to watch footage.
All right, so getting back into it. So yeah, that's everything we have with the What's Hot. Let's get again next week. We're taking a break. So like, subscribe, turn on notifications for when we come back in 2 weeks with our Superman review. So let's get our plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so for our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter and Threads, we're BlurredCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. We got our Discord linked in our Instagram for pure degeneracy. We also have our YouTube and Patreon under Blurred City Pod. If you want to donate some extra cheddar, you can gain access to very exclusive episodes never before seen on the podcast. We also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. If you want to send us episode suggestions, your thoughts on Megan and the like, you go ahead, email us at that. And if you want to send us hate mail, then hey, go ahead, do that. It'll end up in the spam mail. Finally, I am the Jedi born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. How long we got that? And what do you have?
All right, for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, metri_dash, that is metri_dash. For my x/Twitter, that is @themad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes and Noble. So with that, we will leave the people with some words of encouragement.
It is for me, words of encouragement is that when it comes to raising your kids, hey, if you don't make sure you raise them properly, screen like having a screen on there, like while it can be con like it may be convenient for y'all, it's only gonna make things difficult in the long term.
For me, I will say that just because you don't understand something doesn't necessarily mean you have to fear it. And with that, you don't have to stick it in a black box in a Faraday cage. Sometimes you just got to take the time and put in the work and effort to understand someone. So with that, as we say, it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blair City Podcast.
See ya later.